Hello, everybody. Hi, it is Bill Bauman. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our November monthly teleconference. There ought to be a better word than teleconference. I don't know. Gathering, togetherness, love fest. I don't know. Something. Something about teleconference seems so, so impersonal. Anyway, welcome back. I am so, so delighted to spend this time with you. I mentioned last week or last month that we were together that I've really gotten to just cherish this special time. It's some blend of a family reunion and a sort of a temple-based satsang and a way we come together and hold each other, and then just a sitting in the middle of a downpouring of blessings. And anyway, put all that together, and whatever the label for that is, it's just delicious. And I really, genuinely, from the bottom of my crusty little heart, I just welcome you and embrace you and hold you in a time that's just going to be so, so, so wonderful. As I was just preparing this a little earlier, I had the thought, you know, just a few days ago in the United States anyway, it was Veterans Day. And I just had the thought of, in a way that takes nothing away from the military veterans who just do such a service, I wanted to extend that to all of us because, in a sense, we're all veterans of life, and we've all been on the front lines of life. And I just want to, just like we set aside a day a year to celebrate military veterans, let's set aside this day for at least me to celebrate you, this veteran of the human experience, and to thank you for just having been with, dealt with, showed up to, been involved with the human experience, your human experience in all the ways that you have. It just occurred to me as almost like the first time I had the thought, although, you know, with my memory, I could have had the thought 10 other times and not even remembered it. But the thought that, gee, you know, we all deserve just to be acknowledged. So I just want to, on this day of acknowledging veterans, celebrate you for how you've been with your human journey. Hey, another cute little thing for those of you on the webcast, those of you who are not on the phone so much but on the webcast, Donna, you know, Donna puts up different photos. Well, she has put together photos of many of the or some of the women that she has painted, either painted or done fabric art with, and so you will get that particular treat as we move through the evening this evening. And speaking of Donna, say, Donna, would you like to say hi to us?
I would. I just want to say hello to everyone. And it's always fun on these once a month to picture everybody that we're connecting with. I love this form of community. And since I won't talk to you at the end, I'll say happy Thanksgiving now. So with that, I'll hand it back to Bill.
Wonderful. Thank you, Donna. Well, guess what? You thought we were going to get together and jump right in. Oh, you were so, so wrong. How could you? Before that, I've got two announcements. The first announcement is that I've got a new website. Well, I've got a fresh website. Well, I've got an upgraded website. Well, I've got a website that looks different. Anyway, it's a different website, and it's up and running. And I want to thank the amazing Deborah Jelinek, my enormously gifted web designer, for putting that together with me, and it's so I think it's just downright cute. So feel free to visit it. The second announcement is that I'm close to the end. This next Tuesday will be the last of the 5-week-long teleconference on intimacy and spiritual approaches to intimate relationship. And in the first week, you know, I developed these 11 principles of intimacy. In the first week, I just asked if anybody had any suggestions for the inspiration I was having to put those 11 principles out sort of into the airways, online, into the ethers, if you will. And so I got a number of responses, and two wonderful people have done something. Amelia Gerlach has put those 11 principles out into Facebook and into the world of Facebook. And Amelia, thank you enormously if you are there. And then the second person, Bonnie Mansdorf, or Bonnie Mansdorf Kalper, has, with some great assistance with Donna, but has put together this amazingly beautiful video that has the 11 principles on it, and that is floating in the world of YouTube as we speak. So if you want to go to YouTube and find it, I think it's called 11 Principles of Intimacy. 11 Principles of Intimacy. So that's there, and I feel like the purpose of that was just to put it out there so that as they float through space, whoever is intended to find them can find them. So I just wanted to mention that to you. And I think it is time. Do you think it's time? Of course you do. I think it's time for us all to say a beautiful hello to each other. Hold on. All I've got to do is turn my cute little phone off. And so all I've got to do is press the button, which I have just done. Hi, everybody. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, she's just adorable. Thank you so much. And that, of course, was everybody who was on the phone, not counting the unheard voices of those of you who are on the web. And those who will be tuning in over the days ahead. And we have a number of people who do that. So I feel ready to talk with us. Of course, as we know, this monthly time is not so much about information giving or sharing. It's really about inspiration. It's really about kind of a deeper wisdom stirring within us. It's really about a blessing, if you will, a blessing of light or a blessing of grace. And so I want to invite us to sit together, really together, to experience each other, feel each other, and know that the power of all of us is right here. And it's not a limited power. It's an infinite, beyond linear power that just is here to help massage the gifts of this hour into our hearts, into our being. So, are you ready for this amazing, life-changing talk? Of course you are. And, of course, the talk is, besides life-changing, it's really background music. So, the title of my talk, the title of these words that are just out here to stir our heart, the title is Compassion. So just let that word just kind of settle into your mind, compassion, and sink into your heart, compassion, and maybe let your body feel its vibratory pulsing, if you will. And just as a way of introducing compassion, I want to say this: think words like heart, love, feeling, sensitivity, connection, all of which words are just words that open the door to this really special something that almost doesn't have a second word to describe it accurately. This amazing word called compassion. And then maybe think about Tenzin Gyatso, the 14th Dalai Lama, of, quote, love and compassion, of the Buddha of love and compassion. And if you picture the Dalai Lama, of course, it's just really easy to take the word compassion and feel that. If you look at the current Pope of the Catholic religion, Pope Francis, for example, it's not a stretch to look at his face, to hear him speak, to watch him on television or wherever, and just sense, ooh, this is compassion. Or you could go to the Buddha of history, or to Mother Teresa, who spent so many hours, especially in the first years of her personal calling, on the streets of this busy city, treating in whatever way she could, with donated medicines, but mostly with her compassionate heart, just treating people who were sick, people who were dying, people who were starving, people of the gutter, if you will. And to hear her say, again, with the words of her precious religious tradition, that when I see them, I see the Christ, and it's really the Christ who is my lover, if you will, which is a word that she used, who really calls me to them. So with all these people and probably others, it's really easy to see compassion in action. And then maybe next step, think about yourself. Put your focus on you. And maybe go back to your memory and ask your memory, who have you known in your life who, let's just say, specializes in this unique, unique something called compassion. And if you're like me, you probably don't come up with too many people. But whether you do or not, think last of yourself. Think of yourself as compassionate. And ask yourself, maybe, is that a word that would maybe be in the top 10 of my descriptions of myself? If somebody said, give me 10 adjectives to describe you, where would compassionate be? Picture yourself as compassion personified, as the embodiment of compassion, and ask yourself, is that a self-concept? Is that an identity that lives in the, let me come up with a number, the top five identities of my being? Maybe not. I don't know. Probably for many people, compassion doesn't exactly come in first place. So let's just look around the world. Look around the world of politics, the world of social change, the world of human dynamics and dilemmas and processes, the world of human rights and wrongs, the world that's filled with ways that we treat each other. And just look at what's out there and ask yourself two questions. One is, how many feelings of compassion do I have for that world or those worlds that I look at out there? And the other question is, how much compassion is there out there? Well, you know, I just was sitting, for the last hour or so here, just musing on that, if you will. And what occurred to me is, you know what? There's actually a lot of compassion out there. I just want to share a couple interesting things. This last weekend, and I know this because Donna reads the news and she tells me all sorts of things. But right here in sunny Las Vegas, there was a nonprofit group that just got together, got some money, bought a dilapidated hotel, and this last weekend we're putting the finishing touches on it with all volunteer work as much as possible to make this hotel dedicated to and a home for disabled veterans. That's, to me, compassion. That's so feeling, not just the pain of, but not just the deservingness of, but feeling the wonder of those special people, and then letting their hearts move them and other people into action to do that. And also, being Las Vegas, and it's the big strip, and it's all about everything that gets the headlines in Las Vegas. The MGM, one of the big casinos, set aside bunches of their rooms, and they designated, I forget how many, but a lot of disabled veterans and their families, and they paid for, like, I think it was a 3 or 4 day trip to Las Vegas, all expenses paid, and put them up in their hotel. And to me, that's Las Vegas compassion. And so I look around the world and I think, you know, there's lots of compassion. I'm thinking of, and excuse me for going on and on, but I'm thinking of Donna's podiatrist. She's had two of them. And each of them, when she first went to them and described them to me, she said they're both like so, so compassionate. And some of you know, several years back, maybe more than that, I fell off a ladder and broke a lot of bones in my ankle. And I went to the first of those podiatrists who did surgery and the whole thing. But I was just touched by his compassionate, compassionate heart. And it was like when he held my ankle, it was like he was holding a gem, a treasure, something he was so treating with such enormous respect. And I remember walking away from that first time with him and thinking, oh my gosh, I've just been blessed by compassion. So let me shift a little bit, if I will, and say this. We're here for compassion. And I had the most interesting experience earlier this afternoon. And so I just do what I always do. I sat down just a couple hours ago, actually, and I opened myself to the question, what is it for us this evening? What kind of blessing is here? What does life or the divine want to say to us? What is it that wants to be stirred or awakened within us? And what just appeared to me, what came to me was, and still is, what I want to call the spirit of compassion. The spirit of compassion, it was just there, and it didn't have exactly these words, but in effect it said, I want to have a moment with everybody here. I want to talk with you. I want to open your hearts so that I can have a bigger space, an arena for coming more fully alive. And then there was a word that actually did appear, and it was the word enlist, which I don't think I've used in years and years and years. Do you know how salespeople enlist their customer? Well, the spirit of compassion said, and I want to enlist. I want to enlist as many of you as will say yes to be more compassionate, to let me, the spirit of compassion, come alive in you even more. And then I have a context in my own mind for that. The context is, wow, it's a remarkable world we live in. I mean, really, it's an amazing world. It's, some people call it the best of times, the worst of times. I've called it that. But it's from a spiritual perspective, it's a world of wonder. It's a Garden of Eden. It's an amazing, amazing space. And even though so many of us have sort of forgotten that or other visions, other perspectives, other perceptions have overshadowed that bigger truth, it seems to me that the pathway in this post-2012 time of us humans taking more charge of our creation, that the ingredient that would most help us do that is the ingredient, yes, of love, the ingredient, yes, of creativity, but I want to say the ingredient of compassion. So picture yourself, if you feel like it, picture yourself just kind of walking down the street, noticing whatever it is you notice, and just being compassionate in relation to it. Just feeling compassion. The most interesting thing, Donna came home a few days ago and had spent some time with a friend who's really, really, really down and out, who's just life is just terribly, terribly messy, and it's from a dualistic mind perception, it's disaster. Her life is disaster. And I noticed the way we were talking about this precious person. Both of us were saying, "Oh dear, it's so sad," and we don't mean sad in as opposite of happy, but we just kind of joined her, this Donna's friend, in just the what the situation was. And besides words like sad, we just noticed our heart just wrapping itself around her. And it occurred to me just this afternoon, I didn't realize it the other day, like, oh, I guess we were just being compassionate. And it just, again, in hindsight, it felt to me today, looking back on that, that was probably the biggest, biggest gift we could have given her. We weren't talking to her, though Donna was a lot earlier that day. We were talking about her, but just in the airways, the ways we held her compassionately, I feel like just went into her heart, kind of awakened her soul, kind of moved her inner self in whatever way was the blessing that she most needed to have. And I know we could have, just for contrast, you know, we could have said, well, you know, really, it's all her own decision. She set herself up for all this pain. Note my tone as well as the words, which would be perhaps a psychologically very, very true perspective. Or we could have said, well, you know, if it weren't for the societal limitations and the way over the last years of economic downturn had affected this person, then that wouldn't have happened, and we could have gotten mad at the economy or the society. And of course, from an economic and societal perspective, that may be true. But my question to myself was, this afternoon anyway, in hindsight, was, yeah, if we had done that, how helpful would that have been to her? How deeply would that have touched her? How much would she have felt held by infinity, held by life, held by the divine, held by anybody, held by society? I don't know the answers to those questions, but I do know, especially this afternoon, just sitting and looking at all of that, I do know that when I'm compassionate, when I just let compassion fill my heart, when I just feel the whatever, whether it's the situation or the pain or the whatever, and I let my heart take over. I let my heart do the feeling more than my mind do the thinking, or more than anything else showing up, and I notice what my heart does. Especially when there's no external solution, my heart genuinely goes right to compassion. There's a story I read some years back, and for a couple of years I knew this person's name, but I've since forgotten it. But a good friend of the Dalai Lama's had been captured by the Chinese. After the Chinese took over Tibet, of course. And he was for 30 years in the Chinese prison system. And a lot of that time he was beaten almost daily. He was tortured. He was put on forced walks, which were kind of like death walks in so many ways because they were so hungry and weak. And they let him out after 30 years, and he worked his way back, and he met with the Dalai Lama. And the Dalai Lama was really just being compassionate about his plight for those 30 years. And he said to the Dalai Lama, he said, you know, thank you, but there was one time when I almost lost it. And the Dalai Lama looked at him and said, lost it? What do you mean? And he said, well, there was one time in those 30 years when I almost stopped feeling loving and compassionate in regard to those who were torturing and imprisoning and disempowering and starving me. And I remember, my goodness, I'm just shaking inside with that. I remember when I read that thinking, oh, my God, that is compassion embodied, compassion alive, compassion beautiful, compassion, oh, just powerful. That is compassion that whether any of those guards or torturers or whatever knew it consciously, just was holding them and blessing them. And I've wondered about myself since then. Wow, if I was in a similar situation, especially day after day, year after year, decade after decade, on a daily basis being treated not just with cruelty but with hatred and everything that goes with it, what would I be feeling in relation to those who did it? It's kind of an embarrassing question, I think, for most of us, because I think we just probably don't want to know the answer. At least, I, frankly, for me, never let myself answer the question, which probably speaks wonders. So let's be with the spirit of compassion. Let's be with what compassion said to me this afternoon, which is, I want to stir your hearts. I want to open your hearts and ask your hearts to let me, that quality of love, that quality of sensitivity, that quality of feeling, that quality of oneness, that quality of togetherness, that quality of intimacy, let me, compassion, have not just a slice of the pie of your heart, let me maybe be the icing on the cake of your heart. Let me, compassion, be the special flavor of the month of that ice cream of your heart, that maybe for this whole month, if any of us want either a project or want an invitation, let me, compassion, as that icing, that flavor of your beautiful, loving, amazing heart, let me have the inner microphone. Let me step up to the heart's podium. Let me open the various kinds of energies in relation to anything and everything, anything inside you, your own illness, your own sickness, your own disability, your own weakness, your own pain. Anything outside of you, all those world situations we look at or we hear about on the news or in the newspaper, the events that happen when somebody just for no seeming reason blows up at us and yells at us and treats us unfairly, or whatever it may be, anywhere, any place, let me, compassion, sitting alive, even if quiet, even in silence, in the silence of your heart, let me, compassion, from there, just influence your mind, influence your feelings, influence your style of connectedness to this person or that person. I can't tell you how many times when I'm talking to somebody who's down and out, and as you know, I probably spend half my life talking to people who are down and out. None of you, of course. That was cute. But when I'm talking to some people like that, and there's no solution, there's nothing to say to make it better. And I think we've all been in that position. You know, somebody's life mate dies. Really, what can one say? What can you say? There's nothing for most survivors that can be said that in the words touch them. And so we say something like, and I've heard myself say this, I'm really so, so sorry. And the words are totally inadequate. The words are feeble. But words carry heart. Words carry energy. Words carry soul. And so I've heard myself so often say, I'm just so sorry. Or sometimes I say, can I just sit here? Sit here with you. And just sit in the empty space with you. And just be together. I suppose that's compassion. I don't know that I've ever really analyzed it, but it feels in the moment like it is. And I think the only reason I'm mentioning an example like that is we've all been there. We've all been in places in life where nobody can cheer us up. And if somebody comes along with that, hey, when life gives you lemons, let's make lemonade speech, we resent it because we're not in the mood to be cheered up. We're not in the mood for okay, what can I do about this? We're in the mood for being held, just in the mood for being held. And if I look out at the human family, just the human family, even in the midst of our wars and our the ways we drive people from their homes, from their countries, the way we starve people, all of that. I think we're all looking to be held. Whether we're the, quote, victims of that kind of treatment, unquote, or whether we're the perpetrators. I spent so much time with perpetrators as well as victims that I recognize, it occurred to me as I was sitting with them, oh my gosh, they need holding as much as those that they inflict pain upon. And I noticed every time I did that, something happened, something triggered, something sparked, something moved them from within every time, even if it took some time, some weeks, some months, maybe even with a few feedbacks I've gotten, some years. Compassion. Just feel the word in your vibrational system. Compassion. It's perhaps the most quiet, most simple, most silent of divine interventions. Perhaps it's the most underrated of all expressions of grace. Perhaps it's the most unnoticed of all blessings on this earth. And so what I did this afternoon as I was just sitting here, just taken, really, just like I am now, just taken with the way the spirit of compassion was talking to me and stirring me and inviting me to just be its voice with us this evening, I started noticing the unseen compassion that's around. I started noticing my body, for example, and this is just a sharing of what goes on here. I pay very close attention to my body. I ask it exactly and precisely, what kind of foods do you want? I give it exactly that. I ask it what kind of exercise it wants. I give it precisely that. I ask it what kind of attention it wants. I give it precisely that. And it never occurred to me till today. So you're thinking, geez, this guy Bill, he's really not very tuned in. Anyway, it never occurred to me till today that that's my treating my body with compassion. So I love this body. I so appreciate this body that I'm willing to serve it in a totally selfless and giving and caring way. But it hit me today. Wow. If I simplify all those behaviors and all those attitudes and all of that on my part, I'm just really being compassionate with this amazing, amazing phenomenon that is this intimate part of me that's called my body. This expression of earth and of earth, air, fire, water, that in its carbon state and in its alive energy prana state is just wanting to be held, wanting compassion, just like all those people out there. And so, you know, I spend a lot of time talking with people and responding to people about their, to use a technical term, their stuff. And I love these people and I love their stuff. And I notice when I show up to their stuff, the stuff that they've maybe hated, stuff that they've resented, stuff, whether it's a physical condition, it's a symptom, it's a nagging depression that never goes away, it's an awful self-defeating habit, and on and on and on, whatever it may be. I notice when I in my connectedness, my oneness with that symptom, that stuff, when I love it, when I have no judgment about it, when I just feel the deepest compassion for, oh, look what's here. And I let my invisible arms wrap around it, and I just hold it in love, in respect, and just don't go to that place in my mind that could, if I wanted to, say, well, look at you. What are you doing messing up this person's life? What are you doing interfering with this person's calling? What are you doing being a stumbling point along this person's path? Hey, come on, stop it. But I almost never go there. The only time I ever go there is if it feels like that symptom needs tough love instead of soft love. And I think maybe compassion is soft love for most of us. Everything about us, our bodies, our issues, our symptoms, our stuff, our relationships, they need soft stuff. They need the soft love, soft touch. They need compassion. I remember this one person. He was so, this is years back, this is 30 years ago. He was highly, highly successful. He was in the city that we lived in. He was one of the shining lights. He was Mr. Charisma, if you will. Everybody loved him. Everybody followed him. And everything he touched turned to gold, not just economically, but he was a motivator, a stimulator, a mover and a shaker. And he was loved by everybody. And he went home every night. And I first met him because his college-age daughter came to me hugely, hugely depressed with a terrible, terrible self-concept. And so much of it was because of the way her father treated her. And so I helped her, but I started getting involved with the family and the man, the hero himself. And I remember him saying to me, you know, what I've never understood is I give those same speeches at home that I give out on the stump, that I give in meetings, that I give on the podium, and they're not touched at home. They resent me. He said, with genuine ignorance, he said, what is that? And I said, it's because they don't want you as a leader. They don't want you as a stimulator, as a motivator, as a driver. They don't want you as a coach. They want you as a heart. They want you as this feeling, compassionate, all-loving self. They want you to feel them. And he literally could not understand what I was saying. We had the conversation a few times. I think after the last time he got it a little bit, but he was relatively lost because he had never opened his heart to that. He loved his persona, and he genuinely thought his persona was his person, when in fact, his heart, his pleading, inviting heart is his person. So for us, and I think it's time for me to just start letting my words come to some conclusion. The spirit of compassion is very alive and well on this planet. It's really there. So much more than we know. So often it doesn't get reported in the news. We don't see it because we're looking for other things. But it's there. And tonight, and maybe for the month of November, it's here. It's here talking to us. It's here asking us. It's here inviting us. And it's saying, I'm good at being icing on the cake of love in your heart. I'm the great flavor of the month. And I'm inviting you to take me, the spirit of compassion, whether in those earlier questions, you would rank compassion number 1 or number 10 or number 50 on your hierarchical list of what attribute most bespeaks me. Take me in. Open up to me. And invite yourself, even consciously, invite yourself in regard to whatever's in your life, internal, external, intrapersonal, interpersonal, about you, about your inner world, about the outer world, about your relationship to infinity and divinity. Ask yourself, can I be compassionate? Can I even sidestep, if you feel like sidestepping them, can I even sidestep, oh, my usual responses, my usual ways of thinking, my usual perhaps judgments or discriminations, my usual mind chatter about it? And can I just be compassionate? As your mind is listening to these words, I wonder if your mind is saying, wow, that's really something. That never occurred to me. Yeah, it might be a really good idea for you to do that. And maybe your mind might be saying, and while you're doing that, I'll honor you by shutting up. I'll honor you by not insisting that in this moment you listen to me. And whatever thoughts and ideas and paradigms and theories and interpretations I might have, I will honor your time in your heart. And then whenever you're ready for me, you just let me know and we'll reengage. So in conclusion, if I'm just the voice in this moment of the spirit of compassion, that voice, I believe, says to us, thank you. Genuinely, thank you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for having the heart you have. Thank you for already all the compassion that you have felt and exhibited and expressed officially and unofficially. And how about we get together? How about we bond anew? How about we come into a shared resonance where, in relation to not just anything, but everything, everything that's on your plate, everything that's on the doorstep of your being, everything that's in your life, in your focus, we are compassionate, compassionate, compassionate. I thank you, my. It is a total privilege to have had the honor of speaking those words. I would love to, and in fact, we're going to do it, to open up the phone lines and open up the web lines, if that's even a word. That's like lifeline, web line. For anybody who'd like to share anything, as you know, on these monthly calls, I don't usually encourage questions simply because it's the questions bring us up to our mind oftentimes. But if anybody has anything you would like to express, share, say, then I would be delighted to express that. And while those of you who are on the phone are thinking about it, if you want to, I'm looking for my instructions. If you want to express something, oh, there it is. All you need to do is press star 2, star 2 on your trusty little phone, or big phone if you've got one of those, and that gives me a little signal that you're raising your hand, and then I will get to you. I have actually, would you believe, a number of people who on the web have written. One is a beautiful one, says, hello. Another one says, I just wanted you to know that my dear cousin and one of your students, et cetera, passed away around Labor Day. And I actually did know that. And I when he passed, I did just happen to spend beautiful personal time with his spirit. And what a beautiful moment that was. And so this person continues and says, he introduced me to you. So I'm here on our behalf with great gratitude. That is so touching to me. Thank you so much. Let's see. Here's another one. Thank you for the synchronicity. There are many, many men who society thinks are hardened criminals who've been in solitary for 10 to 30 years and are models of compassion and community. This is the greatest teaching. Thank you for talking about this. This is being embodied every day in the torture that solitary confinement in California prisons, human beings who live with dignity and compassion. This was the substance of their nonviolent hunger strike. This is divine love, and I can share innumerable stories about it. And I really thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for that. I'm going to read another one. This looks like it wants to be shared. Dear Bill, and all of us, my drinking is almost fear-free. My whole body is learning. I experience the energy of no resistance as life force, more nature, that I couldn't. Yesterday I listened to a talk by Dr. Jay Halifax on mortality and dying. Courageous to listen to that. So far I have come. When so much fear about living, the illusions, the resistance, restrictions. And last night, I asked for help in the pain. Living is a kind of dying in the fear. Compassion. Compassion, the letting go of the pretending. And even when the pretending, so hopeful, wishing, the effort more than that. And seeing reality, all of it, all it can be. I love so much life, me. I am greedy about it. I choose to believe I can have the more. I can have compassion. And this is so sweet. She ends with, I still sleep with your book under my pillow. That is so very, very, very touching. Let me look at one more, and then I'm going to come back to the phones. Are there degrees of compassion? That's a great question. Can you have more compassion for some than for others? Oh, yes, yes, yes. It seems there's more compassion for those in natural disasters than for prisoners being tortured in solitary confinement. What a remarkable point. Isn't that true? What are blocks to compassion for those, just like Mother Teresa served, those society has thrown away and judged? And then I'll just let the rest of that last sentence go. Those are beautiful, beautiful, actually points as much as questions. If it's okay, I'm going to shift away from trying to answer the questions just because it's not quite the spirit of this moment. But the point and points that you have made are just remarkable. So if there is someone, whose area code is 858, and I am unmuting you as we speak. And hi, would you like to say something, whoever you
yes,
are?
Yes, yes. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I was just very grateful that you spoke about this concept, compassion. And this is at the heart of something I've been passionately involved with.
Hmm.
It's called nonviolent communication. I teach it. I coach it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the foundation of nonviolent communication.
Yes.
And it is a four-step tool that basically takes out the finger pointing, and we're not even aware of how violent our language can be. You know, bad and wrong making, shoulding and shaming and blaming and judging and criticizing. And if we're really mindful and we use this four-step process just four steps. What's the observational thing without any editorializing? What's the feeling that we have? What's the need we identify underneath that isn't getting met or is getting met or whatever in relation to that feeling? And then make a doable request, respectful request, not a demand, but a respectful request about it. And this has been a tool that I have used that I just think can change the world. It's such a simple little tool. If you if we translate everything into these four little steps, it creates compassion in our hearts and then in our minds and then in our speech and language. And I just wanted to share that.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I was really drinking in not just all your words, but your commitment and your passion and your spirit. I've had the privilege of knowing many, many people who have learned and practice, and some of whom teach the nonviolent communication. And mm-hmm. I think it's just an exquisite tool, as you say. And thank you for sharing that, because it takes the spirit of compassion and puts meat on the bones for us to make it tangible for us. So thank
yes.
you so much. That was
a practical tool.
Yeah.
And if I could just say it's www.cnvc.org for anyone that's interested in checking out more. Center for Nonviolent Communication.org.
So
thanks so much, Bill.
CNVC.
CNVC. Yeah, Center for Nonviolent Communication.org.
Uh-huh.
Okay. CNVC.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
for
you're
letting
so
me share
welcome.
That.
Yes, thank you so much. Okay. And we happen to have. Jill, area code 415. Hi. Are you there? Oh, you know what? I didn't unmute you. Now you're unmuted. Hi there.
Well, you know, there's no quieting this spirit over here.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Hi.
Thank goodness. I'm so glad to be here, as always, with the blessings of you and all that are here. You know, this compassion thing, it's been interesting in my world and probably many others. There seems to be, you know, just SHIT hitting the fan with people's reactions. And I'm just noticing a lot of reactivity is what I would call it and other people. And, I, you know, of course, I have to look also at me what is causing that. But I try to be my basic loving, compassionate self.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe that's causing it. So it's so interesting to me that, you know, as I'm also lovingly dealing with people's stuff as they come up, which is what I'll call it, and clients or, you know, situations that happen, misunderstandings, miscommunications, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just really noticing for me that I am staying in compassion, in as much as possible non-reactivity. You know, if my sensitivities get stimulated, which, of course, they do, because I'm human and I'm very sensitive. But what I'm really doing is completely coming back to compassion for that person. You know, maybe what is it that caused them to react that way, sending
mm-hmm.
a loving note
mm-hmm.
to them.
Oh, yeah.
Just doing everything I can on my side to stay, in a way, what I would call above the fray.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm noticing is this is a very, very important time for lovingness, for kindness, even in the face of other people not being kind to you.
Wow.
Or
yeah.
not being whatever they're being, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I just want to say that.
Oh, thank you. And that last sentence is exactly what I was feeling you saying in all your words, that rather than getting all sidetracked or defensive or whatever else we might get in relation to all of that, it's an even bigger invitation. And to step into being totally compassionate. Jill, thank you so much. That was absolutely just beautiful. And
thank you.
Yes. And I have one more person who is area code 847. And all I've got to do is, whoops, wait a minute. Yes, unmute you. There you are. Is this the person I think it is?
Probably.
It is. Hello.
Hello. Compassion is so critical for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I care for a beloved whatever it would be that I would say to him on a given day, he's very likely to forget.
Yes.
Because that's just where his brain and his mind are at this particular stage in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there is nothing more that we can do for each other but to sit in silence and just be with each other.
Wow.
In love.
Mm-hmm.
Because words don't solve whatever the issue is.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of ensuring that the person knows he is loved and that everything is at its core all right.
Wow. Wow. I'm just a little silent because my heart, I don't even have a verb. My heart just felt everything that you just said. That was so touching, and knowing you and knowing your husband, I get the full import of that and the full depth of the message. But more than that, the full depth of your love and your compassion. I just have been deeply touched by what you just said, and I really thank you. Just a thank you, I don't know, on behalf of me and whoever, whatever else, for having that awareness and for so being there in such a beautifully compassionate way for him. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you. I learned it from you.
You're too kind. Too kind. Okay. Bye. Talk to you later. And what we're going to do now, I'm going to shift back to the web. And I just want to read a few other things that have come in. It seems that I, from one person, a wonderful person, it seems that as I increase the compassion I have for myself, it absolutely increases compassion for others. Compassion is exponential. Lovely. Isn't that just a powerful and a very wisdom-filled message? Another one, thank you. It was very heart-opening to listen to these words tonight. I will practice more compassion when I find myself wanting to judge or blame. And I thank you. And also from the same person, another message from the web. Beautiful paintings, Donna. Wow. Wonderful. And one other one from a wonderful friend of mine. Thanks for acknowledging the need for compassion for perpetrators. In what I have experienced, perpetrators and victims are in service to something greater. And I would love to reread that. In what I have experienced, perpetrators and victims are in service to something greater, some mystery which requires only my humility in its presence, beyond my judgments and opinions. Wow. Wow. That deserves to be put under our pillow and slept with. Thank you, my beautiful friend. It's so wonderful to connect with you again. And having done all that, and one more, before I get out of there, one more thank you to Donna for the picture. See, all of you who are on the phone are going to say, I'm missing out here. What is with this? So I want to thank you all. Oh, my goodness, I just looked at my clock. All right, which one of you came in here and put my clock ahead? This is unfair. Thank you all so much. I am going to make the announcement that, I was going to do a whole little meditation here, make the announcement that our next monthly time together is, of course, a month from now. It's in December. It's Thursday, December 12th, the second Thursday, and I will look so forward to that. And the last thing I want to say before I invite us all, at least all of us with voices on the phone, to say a beautiful goodbye for a month, is that in whatever way you and compassion are going to be best buddies over these few weeks ahead, I join you in the most powerful, supportive, and, of course, compassionate way. And and what a joy it is and will be for me to do that. So what do I want to do? I want to click a little button and invite all of those on the web, even though you don't have a voice, that we can hear here, to join us in saying a beautiful goodbye, see you in a month, and in whatever word you use, just include that we are so there with you over these weeks ahead. And those of you on the phone to do the same thing, and those of you who are just
bye, Bill.
Just later to do the same thing. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Bye, Bill. Love you.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Dean and Crystal. Love you.
Oh, too adorable. And I think that is it. I love you. Have a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful month.